Hi, this is Richard Campbell from .NET Rocks and Run As Radio here to talk about Dev Intersection at the Walt Disney Swan Hotel, April 18th to 21st in Orlando, Florida. And one of the folks who will be speaking there is Mr. Green, Robert Green. Welcome back, sir.
Thanks. This is awesome. Thanks
so much for being part of the countdown.
Of course.
And you've spent life in the visual studio world, both inside and outside of the organization. You're in these days.
I am.
And studio through through.
I still have people ask me if I'm still working at home. And then I tell them, no, I went back to Microsoft 5+ years ago.
Yeah.
Like, oh. And then the next time I see them, you're still working at home, aren't you?
5+ years ago. I'm amazed that, we've been doing this together for a very long time.
Very long time.
How much studio is continued to evolve.
Oh,
but
yeah.
One of the things that's come up time and again is that from Studio 2010 to the current version of 2015 has been a seamless upgrade.
Yes.
Side by side. You can run the old version. You can open old projects. Like, it's been no problem. And I see folks that basically use 2015 like it's still 2010. Like,
yes.
They just haven't really used any of the new features.
And I think there are people that still that use Word 2016 like it was still Word 97, right? The base, and this,
I could cut, I could paste, I could set
wrong with that.
Yeah.
But the basic things you do, create a project, write some code, build, run, test, add stuff in the designers, a lot of that is obviously still there. So
right.
The basic patterns of how you build an app, pretty consistent.
They haven't
over
changed.
Time.
.NET is .NET.
Right. WPF, it's still WPF. ASP,
yeah.
Still ASP.
Absolutely.
Although we do have a new ASP.NET Core coming and all that, but the basic apps you build, web forms, WPF, even WinForms, they're still there. But there's tons of new features in the product that we continuously add to make you more productive and a better developer. And part of the reasons you should go to a show like this is to learn what some of those things are.
Well,
so you're sitting in the audience going,
I can do that?
I should do that. That's cool.
Yeah, I find folks coming out of sessions going, I had no idea Studio had these capabilities.
Yep.
So I've been, as a content planner, thinking we need to make sure we do sessions showing folks.
You should have me do
features.
A talk like that.
I love that idea.
We could call it something like Developer Productivity Enhancements in Visual Studio 2015, something like that.
That's a very Microsoft name. And what would they learn
so
there, Robert?
So you call it Stuff You Should Know.
Stuff You Should Know.
Yes. language enhancements. So a lot of enhancements in both C# and VB.
C# 6 is a breakthrough version of C#. I mean, it's a rewrite. I don't think we talk about it that way very often, but that's the truth.
The compilers are now written in the languages. So the C# compiler is written in C#. The VB compiler is written in VB, and that's the whole Roslyn project.
Yeah.
And so on the one hand, okay, that's interesting, the compilers are rewritten, what do I get out of it?
Yeah, why does that matter to me?
What you get out of it, a couple things, is one, it's easier to do language enhancements for us, and then secondly, the editor becomes more in line and is watching you code and offering up tips and tricks. So, in addition to the language enhancements, like, the string interpolation and, lambdas and functions and whatnot. I sometimes tend to forget the literal names for them, although in my talk I've got it written down so I can give you the full name. But let me just show you what it is. So to reduce the lines of code you have to write.
Right.
But then also because of Roslyn, the compiler is watching you. So instead of you do a bunch of stuff, you build, and then it says, oh, by the way,
yeah,
these
here's
are things
15
I
warnings
found.
For you.
Right. So immediately you open up a project and you look and you see your using statements, a bunch of them are grayed out because you're not actually using those usings.
Right.
So it tells you right then and there, there's a tip. It doesn't affect your code necessarily.
No, it'll still work.
It's not a problem, but, you then would say, oh, right click, organize usings. Now you get a little light bulb that pops up, you hover over it, it says, hey, I can organize these for you if you'd like. And you say, yeah, sure. Click. So, or control dot enter will just do it for you.
Right.
Right.
We did a whole .NET Rocks just on keyboard shortcuts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, an hour of keyboard shortcuts.
Yeah.
And there was ones I'd never heard of. Like, I was writing them down.
Yeah.
Oh, I could do that?
Yeah.
There's just so many.
Yep.
It's one of those vast apps. These code analyzers, I think this is, we've got whole sessions at Dev Intersection on this. There's just so much to do here.
Because
on the surface, it looks like, well, this is just computing science. It's rocket stuff. I'm never going to need this.
So you can, I guess it's a question of what you mean by need.
Right.
There are certain ones you don't literally need. Now, for example, Dustin Campbell wrote a code analyzer. It's called the C-Sharp Essentials one, I think, that will tell you in real time if you're doing something that could be done differently in C-Sharp 6.
Right.
Right? So you might think, oh, I need to remember to, you know, to take advantage of all these enhancements in the new version of C-Sharp, but I can't remember them. So this this analyzer will watch as you're coding and tell you, you know, you could do it differently this way if you wanted
to.
Wow. Right? So do you need that one? No, but no. It's awfully helpful.
And then make your code better.
Right. There's also, and I show a demo of this one, you can download one for FXCop. So mm-hmm. rather than having to go through a separate step of running FXCop and seeing what it tells you,
right.
there's actually now an analyzer that will tell you in real time. You just download the analyzer, turn it on, go look at your warnings and errors and whatnot, and all of a sudden there's a whole giant bunch of them.
So as you're writing code, you can see
yes.
FXCop's
yep.
sort of coding standards and rules
right.
around
yep.
around the way code should
And then
should
you
look.
Can set the severity of those. You can change them from warnings to messages to informational to errors if you want to train yourself to stop doing something.
So you can
particular.
Break the build
intentionally
for an FXCop restriction.
Yep.
That's
yep.
really interesting, like in terms of enforcing
right.
good coding behavior.
Now, if you're writing a library yourself that you're giving to your team,
mm-hmm.
And then, you know, there's questions on how to use it, you know, best practices and whatnot, you know, yes, eventually you'll get those over time, or you might, as the person who's writing the library, be expected to write this documentation
yes.
on how to use
I'll
this.
I'll put it on the wiki.
As if, right, of course. So, A, you're going to write the documentation as if, and B, anyone's ever going to read it.
Right.
Right. Sure. So, but what you could also do is build an analyzer that builds these things in so that if I'm using the library incorrectly, it won't build. The project doesn't build.
Interesting.
So we could be draconian like that, or we could be more suggestive. So, you know, I call a method or something, and then I get a light bulb that tells me, you know, here are the best ways to do this.
Right.
Would you like me to change your code to do it the best way? So you can do it kind of informational. You can do it kind of more draconian.
Well, I think about how many times you've incorporated a library, an external library of some
yes.
sort, and then you compile it, and it compiles.
Sure.
And then you run it. And it just mm-hmm. behaves oddly.
Like, right.
Or it gets an error inside of the library.
Right.
And so you're like, well, is there something wrong with this library? Like, you don't know if it's you, if it's them.
Yep.
You know. So the idea that you would catch that early, and that everything is in Visual Studio, so you're not looking elsewhere
right.
for these answers, that's really
yeah.
kind of compelling.
Yeah, it could be as simple as we have found, or this particular method call, that people who wrap it in a try-catch are able to deliver a working application in
right.
you know, way less time, because it turns out that, you know, this breaks because the call's wrong, you don't actually have internet connectivity, you didn't open up some firewall port, or, you know, some
right.
reason.
You're calling this, which you didn't set up the constructor
right.
properly,
yep.
you know,
that you're going
kind of
to
things.
Find out at runtime
yeah.
a lot of times.
Eventually.
And, right, eventually. And then, you know, you got to stop, you got to go back, add the try catch. So you could have an analyzer that says, you should probably wrap this in a try-catch. Do you want me to do that for you?
Right.
Right?
Do it right
And then
now.
You're training people to just automatically do that.
Do the right things.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. So we're going to be able to see this in a session?
Yes. That will be in my session, along with, you know, a bunch of designer enhancements. I'll show some XAML designer enhancements,
mm-hmm.
the live visual tree and the live visual properties, so that, you know, we WPF folks, we've watched in envy of how web developers could, you know, get a document outline and see all the elements on the
yeah,
web page.
Be able to
live.
Hover over the
and
right
say,
pieces.
Ah, how come we don't have that?
Yeah.
And then it was added for Windows 8, and then, you know, WPF guy said, oh, how come we don't have that?
Yeah.
Well, guess what?
It's
we now
here
have
now.
That in 2015, so that's pretty cool. There's yeah. a whole bunch of stuff in the IDE. You know, not to mention stuff you can get from extensions, but
mm-hmm.
also stuff that's in the box. So
awesome.
Yeah. I'll do a whole talk on that.
Robert, thank you so much for bringing this
sure,
forward
always.
To us for the Countdown
always.
Show. And if you'd like to see Robert in action and learn more about everything that's available in Visual Studio, come to Dev Intersection at the Walt Disney Swan
at
Hotel.
The Swan. I haven't been to the Swan in a while.
Are you excited about
that.
It?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, and then, you
it's
know,
cool
one
hotel.
Set of doors out on the street, the other set of doors in the theme
yeah.
park. So, yeah, it's going to be really fun
and
for that.
It's April, so it'll be warm.
Yep.
So anytime I can travel somewhere warm in April,
yeah.
I'm all for
Can't
that.
Can't go wrong for that. So that's devintersection.com. Register today.
See you there.